Good morning, everybody. So it is my privilege today to get to introduce you our speaker today. So Mindy Hocking is here, and she can come on up. So Mindy, we got to listen to her speak on Friday, which we were really blessed. The women were blessed to have her there. So she has been in Mexico working with Envision, and she is now on home assignment, and she's here today. And I think you guys are going to get a really good blessing from her today. So welcome, Mindy, and thank you.
My name is Mindy Hocking, and for those of you who don't know me, I grew up in the Everett vicinity, started attending the Alliance Church when I was 9 years old, and and then just briefly about my life since nine, the Lord, through a long series, it's a long story. So through a series of processes, the Lord drew me into missions. And then when I graduated college from 2004 to 2006, I served at the Black Forest Academy in Germany for 2 years with the Alliance, and then came home for 6 years, figuring out what's next and working on my master's degree and all those sorts of things. And then in 2012, I have been with, since 2012, I've been with Envision in Mexico. For the first 4 years, when I joined Envision, it was located in Ensenada, Baja California. And then my bosses and the Lord decided to relocate the ministry. And I think the last time I came here and shared with you guys, it was in 2018, the beginning of 2018, right before I relocated to Guadalajara, Jalisco, which is like in central Guadalajara. I have a couple pictures here. So this is a picture of just the main city square sign. And for some of you guys, I know the people are really tiny in this picture, but for some of you who would recall, a number of months ago, I don't know exactly when, but Pastor Bryce McFadden came here and spoke and talked about the RTI school that's being started, a Bible school started out of Smoky Point Community Church. And as part of their programming, their education program, the RTI group goes on a missions trip for like in their first year. And that was actually my very last ministry in Guadalajara. Through another series of processes, I have discerned that the Lord is calling me to do something different. And so I've left Guadalajara officially and am doing my home assignment right now and seeking the Lord for whatever is next, whether it's returning to another mission location with the Alliance or whether it's transitioning into a church pastoral type of role. So I welcome any prayers as you think of me. I've got prayer cards in the back. I'm calling them my expired prayer cards because they're set for Guadalajara. But feel free to take one and just pray for me if the Lord prompts you to do so. The next pictures I have for you are just a couple different pictures from my time in Guadalajara. The one on the left is a statue. I like statues. And so this one was one that's located in Puerto Vallarta, and I just thought it was so beautiful. So I just snapped a picture of it. I think it displays the Mexican culture quite well, and it's just lovely, I think. And then the next one is of me and the church that I connected with while I was down there in Guadalajara. There are five. One church just multiplied since I've left, actually. So there are now five Alliance churches in Guadalajara. It's a city of 5 million people, so there's still heaps of opportunities that could happen down there. And this was just one of the churches, one of the five, and just felt like home to me. And the Lord really graciously allowed me to bond and connect well with the senior pastor, or the pastor and his wife, Rigo and Ruth, and they became like family to me in that time. And the church was just a really great community. So it was God's good gift for me in that time. So that's just the little bit that I have to share about I guess my personal intro. As I said earlier, I started attending the local Alliance Church in Everett, Snohomish area, when I was 9. And my parents did not choose it because it was part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. They chose it because it was the church that was closest to our house. It was located a whole 3-minute drive down the street. And and I was 9 years old. It was totally a choice that they made that was out of my control. But it was a thing that God used most strongly to change and impact my life. And of course, over the years, I have learned what is this thing called the Christian Missionary Alliance. I'm not going to give you a whole polity course right now or a history course of the Christian Missionary Alliance, although I really love talking about that kind of stuff. So if you want to know details, I'm available after the service. But I do want to share a little bit about some of the things that makes the Christian Missionary Alliance what it is, because I know that, you know, churches are always transitioning a little bit, and there might be people here who have never heard this. Plus, the Christian Missionary Alliance has also, even for those who are quite familiar with the Christian Missionary Alliance, the Alliance has changed a few wordings of a couple things. And so I'll just introduce those things to you in case that's the part that's new. So what is the Christian Missionary Alliance? I love this definition. Our president, John Stembo, who some of you guys might know as well, since he's been in the district quite a bit, he, I think, came up with this little phrase, and then just recently in October, I think it was, I saw the added parentheses thing and quickly scribbled it down so that I could share it because I really liked how it's worded. But what is the Christian Missionary Alliance? We are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. What this means is that, broken down, like, we are Christ-centered. We are all about Jesus. We want to see Jesus glorified. We want to see Jesus made known. He is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our coming King. We want to see Him exalted and known among the nations. Acts 1:8, that we are also a missional people. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit do we go out into the nations. And so we want to partner with the Holy Spirit in the work that He's already doing. And then we are a family. We do this together. We need each other. I certainly have not been gifted enough to do the job alone. And I would wager, I guess, that most of you guys would say the same thing. I need your energy. I need your talents. You guys need my energy and talents. We need each other to share the gospel, to love our neighbors, to take the gospel out into the world. And likewise, I could even expand that to the Alliance needs other groups. Like, the job is way too big and the job is way too important for us as the Christian Missionary Alliance to do it by ourselves. So I know around the world, strategically, Alliance churches partner with other evangelical churches and movements to multiply the work and to share the gospel with people. And that's huge. That's important. So we are Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. We want to see all of Jesus for all the world. We have 4 branches of Alliance missions. For those of you who don't know those, the first one is, so this is one of the new things. It is now officially called Alliance Missions. It used to be called International Ministries. Yeah, I think that was it. I should know that. Now it's formally called, or officially called, Alliance Missions again. And we have 4 branches. The first branch is Access. And Access is the branch of Alliance Missions that focuses on church planting. Access is also a new name as well. Before, there really wasn't a name for this branch. I just typically called it the church planting branch. It is the most common, like, when you think of Alliance Missions, this is the largest group of Alliance missionaries. They focus on church planting and church multiplication. And then the second one is Marketplace Ministries. Marketplace Ministries is for working professionals reaching creative access countries. So people go through their business. They don't go as missionaries officially. They go through their business. So whether they're going as a professor, computer technology people, whatever those titles are called, teachers, tourism, you know, anything of that sort. Like they set up a business in these countries that are closed to the gospel, closed to normal missionaries and pastors. And then through that business, they get to know people and start sharing the gospel one-on-one with people. And then we have the third branch, which is CAMA. CAMA is Compassion and Mercy Association. I still have never quite figured out what that last A stands for, but it's one of those two. And they are focused on relief and development. So their focus is relief and development. So whenever there's a situation that happens, whether like most recently, the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, or even what was that, a year or 2 years ago, when there was the hurricane and flooding in Houston, and then of course around the world, it's almost as if, I don't think they use this terminology, but it's almost that they deploy missionaries for a short term to do strategic poverty and relief work. And then the fourth one is Envision. Envision is the branch of Alliance Missions that focuses on short-term mission engagement. So we want to see people engage with short-term missions, whether it's a church group, whether it's an individual. We want to provide opportunities for intentional engagement with missions around the world. So presently, there's about 7 or 8 domestic sites in the U.S., so you don't even have to, if you don't have a passport, you don't even have to leave the U.S. to have a cross-cultural mission experience. You could go to Envision Atlanta or Envision New York City or Envision Chicago, and there are many cross-cultural opportunities right here in the U.S., as we are hopefully all know. And then there's about 12 to 14 international sites around the world. So Burkina Faso, Taipei, Paris. They're hoping to open the next 3 new sites that they're hoping to open or planning to open are in Berlin, Israel, and Japan. I know you guys have a long-standing history of partnering with missions in Israel, so maybe somehow Envision Israel might be a place where you guys will do more partnership in the future. We'll see. Overall, we have 700 Alliance missionaries in all 4 of those branches, and there is plenty of room for more to join. So we are one family, we have 4 branches of Alliance Missions, and we have 3 strategic priorities. This is something also that the Alliance leaders at the National Office really kind of put together. When they listed all the things that were, like, what are we about? What are we doing? And they kind of narrowed it down to these 3 categories. The first one is serving communities. We want to serve the whole person. We want to have a meaningful, impactful presence wherever we go. We want to be strategic and engaging with people and serving them in whatever those needs are, whether immediate needs or long-term needs. The next one is multiplying church networks. We want to see churches burst and multiplied. We want to see leaders developed. We want to see the church grow. It is through the church that the gospel goes forth in the most powerful way, and that there's that community and fellowship as well. And lastly, we want to be about developing people. We want to see people transformed, holistically transformed, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual transformation and development developed. And we want to see transformed people transforming other people. So we want to see this growth and multiplication in that. And if you think about the four branches of Alliance missions that I just talked about, you can see possibly how each of these things, like each branch has their specific niche, really. So Comma Service, for example, is really like, while they focus on all three of these, like they're all about serving their community. They're like, that is their main niche. And hopefully they do the other two as well in the process. With Access, their main one is multiplying church networks. And then with Envision, it's developing people. With Marketplace Ministry, I don't know about that one. I would guess that they're probably their main one would probably also be developing people, because it's going to be a highly relational, one-on-one type of connection. But while we all have, like, each branch has their specialized niche of ministry, like, of course, we're also hopefully investing in the others as well and serving in those. Yeah, so that's just a little bit about Alliance missions. Again, after the service, I'm happy to talk about any of that further if there's any questions about that. Yeah, I know if you guys are at all like me, you probably have heard, oh, I don't know, like 50 to a couple hundred sermons on missions. Like, you know, the Great Commission, you've heard sermons about it many times. And at times I think our hearts, mine included, it can get desensitized to that message, that there's this Great Commission and the Lord is calling us to engage in world missions. And so let me just take a moment to pray for us as I dive into yet what will be another sermon for you. And we'll ask for the Lord to stir in all of us and prepare our hearts for this. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time to fellowship with these brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you for the work that you are doing in this church, in this community, Lord, through this church and the community. I thank you for their hearts for justice and mercy, Lord. And I just pray that for everyone here, for myself included, Lord, that the call to be missional people, Lord, won't fall on deaf ears, but that your Holy Spirit will just give us the ears to hear, eyes to see, and minds to understand the things that you desire for us to take away through this time. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. So every year, the Christian and Missionary Alliance sets a theme, or maybe it's every 2 years, but they set a theme, a mission theme, and you guys saw the video, the reach to the regions beyond. And it comes from this verse in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, 15, and 16. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Our relationship with the Lord is never meant to be just for us. It's never meant to be just an isolated relationship that is all mine and only mine. But rather, my relationship with the Lord is supposed to be in my life in such a way where I am transformed, and that it grows, the impact of my relationship with the Lord grows and expands even to regions beyond us. It's a little bit, like, I'm sure if we had time, like, it'd be great to hear testimonies of how God has transformed your life. And those very stories of transformation and how God has worked in each of our lives is the very thing that we need to be sharing with other people and letting that testimony and that witness go forth. It's a little bit like, it's like a candle inside of a box. If you put a candle in a box, like, basically whatever darkness is inside that box is going to, like, the light of the candle would fill that box and the darkness in that box would go away. And then if you were to move that candle into a closet, for example, then the light of that candle expands to fill that closet. And then likewise, if I were to move it into a room this size, if it were completely a darkened room, that light from the candle would expand to provide light for this room. And so it's the same way. Our relationship with Christ is meant to grow and meant to expand. And our area of activity, our engagement with the gospel, is also supposed to expand to the regions beyond us. It's much like in Acts 1:8 when we have that verse, but you will receive power through when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you've studied this verse at all, and if you've studied, I guess, the geographical sense of these four locations, you know that there's kind of this like ripple expansion element to it, where the area of activity gets bigger and bigger. The Holy Spirit is meant to, we are meant to be witnesses with the power of the Holy Spirit, starting right here in our own community and reaching bigger and bigger and bigger until to the ends of the earth. And that is what that 2 Corinthians passage is also saying. We want to have the gospel transform our lives that we reach the regions beyond us. And it's only going to happen through the indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit, not by my own works, of course. John 10:6 tells us that there are sheep of this fold, that there are sheep that are not of this fold, but that they will hear the shepherd's voice, that they are ready to hear the shepherd's voice, and they are ready to answer to his call and to come into the fold. And what this means is that there are sheep who are waiting to hear the shepherd's call. There are people out there in the world who are ready to receive the gospel, who are ready to hear that message and that good news and to have their lives transformed. Their hearts are receptive and they're ready. They just need to hear it. The message just needs to be taken out there. When we share reaching the regions beyond, starts here. It starts here in our lives, and when we open our lives to the cultures and to peoples around us in our communities, in our works, in our neighborhoods, when we do that, when we befriend others and we open our time and we open up our home to befriending other people, the gospel will go forth. The world is on the move, and so living cross-culturally can happen right now just by stepping outside of our front door. We need to be willing to engage right here in our community, engage with the nations around us, in our jobs and in our schools and whatever other family activities we have here. I have some friends back home up in the Everett, Snohomish area, and they wanted to strategically reach their neighbors. They've lived in this one neighborhood for a few years anyway, and they wanted to get to know their neighbors. Their neighborhood is a lot like most neighborhoods, or I think in this part of the world anyway, this part of the States, where you can just so easily go in and out of your house and never get to know your neighbor. And they found out at one point in time that one of their neighbors across the street was a Muslim family, and they really felt this desire to get to know them and to share the gospel with them, but also to the other neighbors as well. So they just started praying, like, Lord, what can we do? They decided to, this year, they decided to remodel their entire front patio section in front of their house, in order that they can have like a table and chairs out there and their plan is, once the weather is better and slightly warmer, that they're going to start spending time out there in the front of their house, just hanging out on their patio, inviting people to come. Like, I guess their neighborhood is also walking, like a lot of people walk their pets and whatnot. So they're going to just, as people walk by, just introduce themselves, invite them to come and have a seat and a chat and get to know them. And they even installed a fountain on the side of their patio so that when they actually do get into conversations that are weightier, that the fountain will kind of drown out some of the noise from other ears around them. So they really thought a lot about this and were creative about this and really intentional on how to invest their time and their energy. And already, even though they've yet to sit out there in their front patio due to the cold and the rain, already, like, one of their Muslim neighbors came over right after it was finished and just said, when the weather is nice, we're going to come over here and sit with you. And so already they're seeing some of the fruit of their choices in this area. According to estimates on the internet, the world population is presently at about 7.8 billion people, which is just a number that's hard to wrap. It's hard to wrap your mind around that kind of a number. It's just a lot of people. And approximately 3 billion, 40% more or less, live in places where there is still little to no gospel access. So what this means is that whether we're here in the States or whether we're thinking globally, we need to be people who are prayerful, and we need to be people who are creative, and we need to be people who are intentional. If we want to share the gospel with the nations around us, if we want to engage in the regions beyond us, if we want to see the sheep come into the fold who are ready to hear the shepherd's voice, then we need to be prayerful, creative, and intentional people, just like my friends did with their patio. And if we invite God to work, and if we invite his creativity, because I know some of you probably are thinking, I am not a creative person. I say personally that I have moments of creativity. Like, there's spurts when it comes and goes, I feel. And some of you guys just ooze creativity, and others just feel like you don't have a drop. And that, again, is where we need each other. Like, that's where we can work together. Let's be prayerful together as a community, and creative together as a community, and intentional together as a community, because that's also a great, great thing. He longs to use you. The Lord longs to use you and the talents and the training that you've already had. Like, if you have training as an engineer or a mechanic or a computer technician person, or if you're a lawyer or a teacher, or if you like art or sports or whatever, like whatever your talents and your skills are, the Lord wants to use those very things to take the gospel out into the world. A couple years ago, was sharing to the Awana kids at my church, and this one little girl, at the end of my time with the Awana kids, this one little girl told me, she's like, I always wanted to be a vet, but after hearing you share, I think I want to be a missionary now, which was like, oh, how sweet. But I very quickly was like, you can do both. You can be a vet and a missionary. Like, you don't have to just be a missionary. Like, the world needs vets out there who are also mission-minded and who will care for their resources. And so I'm like, you can do both. Like, and that's the point. You can do both, regardless of whatever your training is, regardless if you feel you're proficient in the Bible or just proficient with mechanics. Like, you could do both, and we need both out there. This past summer in Guadalajara, I had a group come from, actually, Wenatchee, and I met with a pastor. They actually partnered with my church in Guadalajara, Vida Nueva, and Pastor Rigo. And so I met with Rigo to talk about, like, what can this group from Wenatchee do when we're there. And at first, Pastor Rigo asked if they could do something like fix the roof, do roof repairs. And I thought and I prayed about it. There were multiple dynamics why I hesitated just a little bit. But finally I said, yeah, they can fix a roof. That's a great idea. And then a couple of weeks after we settled on that, he got back in touch with me and he said, Mindy, actually, is it okay if we switch the project from working on the roof to actually installing a tile floor in our Sunday school room? And I was like, yeah, that's totally fine. And so I messaged the team leader at some point right after this and just said, here's the plan for the week. You're going to be installing a tile floor. You're going to be partnering with this church, and here's some of the need to know information about this church. And then I asked her, is there by any chance anyone coming on your team who knows anything about tiling floors? Because otherwise I'm going to be going to YouTube videos to figure out how to prepare for you guys. And she wrote me back saying that as God would ordain it, one of the men who had signed up to come on that particular trip, it was going to be his first time coming to go on a trip with Envision Mexico, One of the men who decided to sign up was actually a professional contractor and did tiling on a very regular basis. Oh, I was like, praise the Lord. Like, I was giddy with the idea that the Lord, before I even knew that we would be tiling a floor, the Lord knew that, and he ordained that this guy, Sam, was going to join the team, and that it would be such a blessing to me to have somebody with experience and know-how on how to do that. And it was just so good. And this is the point. The Lord wants to use your talents, whether it's tiling a floor or anything else, for missional purposes. And if we allow him to do that, he will use it for missional purposes. That passage in John is a super familiar passage. Like, the whole chapter is quite familiar. It's the passage where Jesus says he is our good shepherd and that we are his sheep and that he knows his sheep and that his sheep know his voice. It's a very loving, intentional passage. And especially if you pair it, if you read it kind of hand in hand with Psalm 23, where he, again, it says he's our good shepherd and that he leads us by still waters and green pastures. Both of these passages, what they tell us is that there's a tenderness there of time spent with us. There's an intentionality towards us because of his great love for us. Like, he spends time with us as the shepherd. We know his voice because he's there. He's there speaking to us. He cares for us and sustains us. And he's intentional towards us because of his love for us. And that is what we need to do, like, as people who have been transformed by his love, who have been brought into the fold, we now then in turn need to go out and share the news with other people. I didn't read this verse in full earlier, so I will now. Jesus says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. These hearts out there are ready to trust the Savior. There are hearts that are broken and hurting, ready to find rest and healing in the arms of the shepherd, and we can share that news with them, whether it's here in Olympia or whether it's in the ends of the earth, wherever that might be. Let me tell you a story. Let me share another story about one of the sheep that the shepherd called. For the women who were here on Friday, the next two stories you've already heard, spoiler alert. So just bear with me and hopefully it blesses you a second time. But this is my friend Veronica, and she has had quite the life. When she was 14 years old, she moved out of her house and got pregnant, gave her baby up for adoption, and continued living this life where by the time she was 16, she already had two more babies. I'm not sure, there's a whole gap of her story where I'm not sure what happens, honestly, but she eventually does get married. She has four kids now. I think, as far as I know, the little bit that I've talked with Vero about her husband and her marriage, it sounds like she's in a really great marriage. The one of our Alliance churches in Guadalajara is called the Breath of Life Church, and it was started and is led by Alliance missionaries, and that's actually the church that just multiplied as of December 1st or 2nd, whatever that first Sunday of December was. They actually now are two campuses instead of one, and have a really great vision for multiplication over the next 5 years. So it's really exciting to see what God is doing there. But they also had a heart to reach the vulnerable women in their community because different things were happening. Women were coming to them, or families were contacting them, asking them for help. And so they saw this need to help vulnerable women, and they started this ministry called Circle of Hope. Circle of Hope is a place to basically provide training and help to vulnerable women. So they've offered classes on jewelry making, hair cutting, makeup, like how to put on makeup well, like makeup training, I guess, and nails, like doing nails and pedicures. I did a small little thing on calligraphy. I was also part with another woman. We taught English classes, which, so like there's just been an assortment of classes that have been offered to these women, and they're all free of charge. So the women just get to attend, receive these training, and then if they have a special, like if they end up having a knack for hair cutting, for example, then they can, hopefully, the hope is that they can then out of their own house start generating money and supporting themselves and their families. So Vero heard about Circle of Hope, and she started attending some of the classes and started hearing the gospel through this time. She learned about Jesus and eventually surrendered her life to the Lord and started attending the Breath of Life church services on Sunday and brought along her two sons, and they too also accepted the Lord as their Savior. This past July, I had the privilege of being able to watch the three of them get baptized with a few others in their church community, and there were just tears streaming down Vero's face as she, with such joy, of how God has just impacted her life. She used to be really afraid and worried about going to church, giving money to the church, especially from her mother-in-law, like what would her mother-in-law say? I don't think she has much of a relationship with her own family anymore, but what would her mother-in-law say to all this? But on the day that she got baptized, she just said, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone says, like, I need to just follow the Lord and serve the Lord. And it was just great to see how God has changed her life. Right before I left Guadalajara, I invited Vero over a couple times to teach me how to make her salsa so that I could duplicate that here. And I asked her to help me clean my house when I was leaving. It was so great. She's just a lovely person. And I was commenting with another missionary down there in Guadalajara that for all that she's gone through, for everything that she's endured, whether by her own choices or by the choices of other people, like she exudes such gentleness and such a love for the Lord and a willing to serve the Lord now. And it's only because of his work that he's done in her life. Vero continues to participate in pretty much all of the Circle of Hope classes, I think. Like, she just seems like she's always there and willing to serve and help and be a blessing and to learn whatever she can. And she has been able to earn enough wages through the things that she has done that she now, like, it now pays for the bus ride from their house to church for her and her son. So it's just been a great blessing to them. And then as a side advertisement, I actually, before church started, there were 4 remaining bracelets in the back. Please do not feel guilty about buying the last 4. It's not like that one remaining chip in the chip bowl. Like, don't feel guilty about eating it, you know, like, or about buying those bracelets. I will be happy to be sold out. So they're asking $5 each, and the money just goes back to the Circle of Hope ministry, in case anyone is interested. So Vero and her sons, they were ready to hear about Jesus. Their hearts were ready to hear the shepherd's voice and to be introduced to the shepherd. And the missionaries who oversaw or who work at or serve at the Breath of Life Church and the Circle of Hope, they were intentional and they sought to be creative. And they were very much prayerful for everyone who has come and still are this way. And through their faithfulness, Vero and her sons and many others have had their lives transformed and are now part of the fold that we are a part of as brothers and sisters of Christ. Living a good life is super important, but if we want someone to have a relationship with the Lord and we're not willing to actually share the gospel with them, we're not actually willing to talk about the things that God has done to transform our life, then we're missing a very important element. We need to be proclaiming the gospel as well as living, having a righteous presence and living a righteous, holy life. The two go hand in hand, both how we live and how we speak. And so I just encourage you guys in that. The second story I want to share is about Jaime and Angela. They are people who I think model this so well for me, even on how to have that holy, righteous living presence and also not afraid to share the gospel with everyone who they have that opportunity with. Jaime and Angela are Mexican Americans. They are from California. I think their whole family was born and raised in California. And then because of their Mexican family and heritage, I think all of them have basically grown up crossing the border on all the holidays, kind of a thing, going back and forth. And when they, you know, after all four kids were born, they, all of a sudden, the Lord got a hold of their life and said, I want you to go back to Mexico and plant a church, which was not anything that they had ever thought they would do. Like, they were professional careers, so this was a whole career change for them to do that. But they did it. They obeyed the Lord, and they came down to Mexico. And it was actually once they came down to Mexico and started planting this church that they then partnered with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So officially, they're considered Mexican pastors. This is one of our alliance churches in our district, the district down there in Guadalajara. And Jaime and Angela ended up in a town called San Diego de Alejandría. It's a really small town and is a very Catholic town, very predominantly Catholic in every way. In fact, when Jaime and Angela arrived, there was no evangelical Christian church at that time in the town. And they arrived, and immediately people were a little bit suspicious against them, because you got new people arriving to a small town, and who are these strangers? And then Jaime and Angela just would not shy away from sharing the gospel with people. So immediately that kind of put some people off as well. But the one thing that was like their saving grace, God's goodness on their life, was that people started asking Jaime, like, are you the son of so-and-so? And he's like, yeah, I'm whatever his dad's name is. Like, I'm so-and-so's son, and this person is my mom, and this is my grandparents, who were people from this town. Like, he went to the town, basically, of his family's ancestors, and actually lives in the same family house that his dad was born and raised in. And because of that family connection, instantly Jaime and Angela and their kids were made part of that community and allowed to, they're given a lot more rights and freedom to share the gospel with people than I would if I moved into that town, for example. Repeatedly, for the first several years of them being in San Diego de Alejandría, they would share the gospel with people. They would go out, they would do one-on-one with all these people, share the gospel. It would be received, and people would ask them a lot of questions, would ask them for prayer, and it would seem to be going well. And then when they would invite them to come to church, or when they would invite them to actually receive the Lord as their Savior, then quite suddenly it would shut down. Over and over and over again, this would happen. It would just shut down. And it would often shut down because of just family pressures or pressures from their friends about not abandoning or rejecting the Catholic Church. And so year after year, they would do that. Like, people, they would just, in this kind of cycle, I guess, of sharing the gospel and having it rejected. And of course, when this happens year after year, as you could probably imagine, they got discouraged. When I arrived in March of 2018, I wrote them an email. I had been told about them, and so I just wrote them a quick email just saying, hey, I'm Mindy Hawking, and I just moved to Guadalajara. I work with Envision. This is what we do. And I told them, like, Lord willing, one day I would like to bring a group out to San Diego de Alejandría and serve and partner with you guys. I'm like, I don't know when. I don't have any promises of a group for you at this moment. That's just my hope for the future. And Jaime shared several months later that he knew in that moment that just with that email, without any promises or even hopes, I guess, like he knew in that moment that the Lord remembered them, that the Lord was watching over them, and that the Lord would provide for them. Because they were at a point prior to that email of really praying and questioning, Lord, do we go back to California? Do we abandon this church? Do we abandon this idea, this calling that you've given us and go back home? But the Lord reminded them through the email that he was there and that he had called them and that he remembered them. A couple months later, I actually did write them and I said, I do have a group I want to bring out there. So it was a group from New York who came down for a week and we went out there and stayed with them for the week. It was the most interesting week. It included accusations of us being child snatchers. It included a part of the group being picked up by the police and taken in for questioning. Like, really, just it was just a really interesting week. If you want to hear stories about that later, I'm happy to share. But overall, I don't know that we did amazing things. Like, it's not like I have stories to brag about that, you know, hundreds of lives were coming to know the Lord during our time there. But what did happen was that Jaime and Angela felt that the Lord had breathed new life into them, and they felt restored and encouraged through the presence of the group and the partnering with them. Right before I left, like in that final month before I left Guadalajara, I had lunch with Jaime and Angela, and they told me that, I guess a year later, they now have about a half a dozen people coming to their weekly services. So it's such a great thing just to see how in their perseverance and their sticking around and their faithfulness in sharing the gospel in this community, that finally they're starting to see the fruits, the fruits come out, and they're still regularly sharing the gospel with people in their community, to the other sheep in that town who are so close to knowing the shepherd's voice. So if you think of Jaime and Angela, pray for them. They're just a lovely couple, and God is doing a good work in this town. So to bring all of this together, the question I just want to leave with you guys is, what sheep might be ready to join the fold that are in the regions beyond you? Here, whether that's here in your community, in this county, in this country, what are those regions beyond you, and what sheep are ready to hear the shepherd's voice around you? If we are followers of Christ, we get the privilege of joining in his work. It's not a command to be obeyed. It's not a burden that we have, a cross that we have to bear. It's a privilege that we get to join in and participate in what he is doing, and what he we get to be part of this great opportunity to say, you know, that Jesus loves you and that he is intentional in his love towards you. So I encourage you guys to start praying for your neighbors in more practical ways. I encourage you to pray for your neighbors and then for your communities. Pray about how you can engage the nations around you. Invite people into your life and into your home. I know oftentimes our schedule can be so busy with family activities, so maybe that's even part of what we pray for. How can we free up and clear up some of our calendar in order to create space for inviting people into our home and into our lives? How can we show people the love of Jesus and how he has transformed our lives? Other intentional ways that you can give or engage in missions is through giving. With the Christian Mission Alliance, there is, of course, the Great Commission Fund. And I don't know if you hear about that regularly or not, but it's just a general fund which aids mission work around the world. So when you give however much you give, from a little to a lot, you instantly have global mission impact, which is pretty cool. So there's always that as an option. And then, of course, you are also invited to go to missions. Whether you can go as part of a group for a week, up to 10 days, or whether you want to go by your individually and do like service and be mentored and discipled, whatever. There's multiple opportunities there with Envision particularly. I had a family of three, a husband and wife and their 10-year-old daughter, who came down to Mexico for, came down to Guadalajara for a month this last summer. The parents were both teachers, and so of course their summers look a little bit different than people of other careers, naturally. But because of their schedule, they came down for a month to do basically a month-long missions trip serving in Guadalajara, and it was really great. I met another family in my time in Ensenada who I'm not quite sure on their professions. They might actually be teachers also, but regardless, they as a family have decided that they wanted to do a 7-year sabbatical thing. So for 6 years, they're going to be saving up money bit by bit, and every 7th year that they would do a month-long mission trip somewhere as a family. And I just thought, what a great, great idea of just really being intentional with your time, with your money, and even instilling that in your kids' lives and in your kids' minds. So if that's a possibility, something like that, I would encourage you to consider that. If that's not at all a possibility, taking a month off does not work for you. I get that. There's still other opportunities of how you can go and engage in the world. Envision even has what is called the Give Back Program. I might have talked about this briefly the last time I was here, but the Give Back Program is for those who are older and wiser, who have more greater age and experience than others, and it's an opportunity for people in like retired folks or people second career type thing to go overseas and again to use those talents and training that God has given you, that you've already had for, you know, 30 years or whatever, and to use those strategically in missions as well. So regardless of your age, there is opportunity around the world, and even here, of course, too. Ultimately, the Lord wants to use us. He wants to reveal himself to others through us, through you and through me. He wants to reach the nations around us. And he wants to speak his words of healing and grace and love to all the lost sheep that are around each of you, even into the nations beyond us. And that's what I have to share. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for your great love towards us, Lord, for your intentionality towards us, Lord, and how through your intentionality and through your love, our lives, my life, has been transformed, Lord. I am not the same person that I would be had you not shown your love towards us. Father, I just pray that you would help us to know how to have the eyes to see, Lord, the eyes to see the lost sheep around us. I know at times we can just get so busy and just so focused on our daily calendars that we even fail to see, much like the story in the Bible where the guy received the partial healing and he saw men like trees, Lord. He didn't see the men. He wasn't quite there. He needed that second touch from you, that second healing to have his vision completely restored, Lord. And Lord, where there is that kind of clouded overness in our lives, where we see people, but we don't really see them, Lord, would you help us to have the eyes to see them? Would we be mindful that you love each person, Lord? Would we see the nations around us and ask how we can strategically be a part of their lives and loving them and being their friend and welcoming them and sharing the gospel with them, Lord? And would we have minds to, I guess, understand and to minds to just seek your heart in how we should engage, Lord, what that means for us, whether here at the local level or what that means of our time or our money or our creativity, Lord, or our talents, Lord. You desire to use it all to show yourself to the world around us, Lord. And so I just pray that each of us, myself included, that we would be faithful stewards of the things that you have given us, Lord, that we would not hesitate to show your love, to speak your love, and to be a part of reaching the nations beyond us, Lord. We just thank you all of this, and we pray for all of this in your precious name. Amen. Oh, thank you.
All right, please stand.